Welcome to the podcast. A dookie from back in the day, now the head coach at Fordham, Bridgette Mitchell. Bridgette, I covered you as a player at Duke. You were a heck of a defender, but you could also score. A long, athletic wing. Got any of those on your team?
I do. I love them. Love them.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, we've got quite a few in our four spot. We have some big wings. Lala, who you had a chance to meet at Media Day. Kayla Berry, she's from Brooklyn. They are so long and active in the passing lanes. We've been doing a really good job in our conference of getting steals and deflections and all that good stuff. So we've got some tough defenders.
I'm not surprised. You were a tough defender, but you also were a really good two-way player. You could score as well. You know, when you're rebuilding a program like you are in your third year, what are some of the steps that you see as progress that maybe we don't see because people are just looking at the record?
Yeah, I think that the biggest one is the culture and identity, right? Like there's some things that, and I shouldn't say some things, there are a number of things that I don't waver in, right? Like how you show up to practice. There's three things that we talk about on our team: energy, effort, and focus. I don't care if we don't win the game. Did you show up and did you have energy, effort, and focus? Because if you have all three of those things, it's going to be hard for us to lose a game. And so we don't see that as much in the stats. Like we just had a really tough game against Davidson down there at their place and had a great two quarters, game's 40 minutes. We lacked focus down the stretch, right? Whether that was fatigue or whether that was just making silly mistakes. You don't win games if you don't have those three things. And the biggest thing about those three are that they're controllable. And so with this team specifically this year and entering year three, I think that we've grown in a number of areas when it surrounds our ability to do that consistently. The effort, I'm not coaching effort, which is great. They're going to play hard whether we're up 20 or down 20. So from that perspective, and now we just got to clean up a little bit of the other things.
Yeah. It's some detail, right? Because when you look at the box scores, you're not out of games, you're in games. And the attention to detail is what I usually hear coaches start focusing in on as we get into February about where their team should be, right? You mentioned tips, deflections. I talk about those on the air, but disrupting a team's offensive flow is an important component to what you do defensively. Tell us why and how you go about doing that.
Yeah, we tally them. We reward them. Our coaches on the bench are counting them. And we go in after each quarter and at halftime and talk about where we stand, right? And where we end up at the end of the game. Because those are momentum shifts, right? Like those get your teammates going. That stalls the offense, right? And it gets them a little flustered when you're up and you're aggressive. We mix up our press, whether we're pressing full court or in the half court, jumping ball screens. And so I think that that's something that is really unique for the style of player, the type of players that we have this year. We're able to do that with every person on our team from our one to our five.
So I'm curious, knowing that it's a defense first mentality and the length that you have on the wing, which you already said, what's your offensive rebounding philosophy? Because I know you're a team that does like to press up. You will switch up your ball screen coverages. What's your philosophy on offensive rebounding and crashing the glass?
Yeah, we always just have one person back. So four should be crashing. When we watch film, I get on them because you know how it is as a coach. I see three people. Where's the other one? but we talk about four people crashing all the time because we do like to hawk the ball. So it's always a guard that's in and a guard that's getting back because we call her a ball hawk. And so when you're crashing, you're looking for the point guard. And so most teams in our league, they aren't necessarily, up passing right away, right? They're trying to find their point guard to initiate their offense. And so we find ourselves crashing to have four people in there to be able to crash the glass.
So that helps with tempo, number of possessions. Are you speeding up the defense, speeding up the pace of the game with your defense, or are you trying to more control the number of possessions by the manner in which you get tips and deflections?
Definitely the speed up route. We have been having a lot of success with that. But the thing about our team, which is unique, and sometimes it's, depending on the person you're talking to, it's a good or a bad thing that you can adjust to the team that you're playing, right? There are a number of teams that we play better when we speed them up. And then there are teams that we can catch them coming off of ball screens, we're not going to press you full court, but we're going to get you in the half court, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not necessarily speeding them up. It's making them uncomfortable and getting the ball out of the primary person who wants the ball in their hands. And so it varies based upon opponent and our scheme for that particular game specifically.
I don't see any teams in the women's game walk the ball up the floor. We have 30 seconds. It seems like it's a faster paced game. Of course, the WNBA is even faster with 24 seconds on the shot clock. How do you feel about the pace that your team's playing with? You know, when you get to the third year, you're trying to put, you know, you got some of the people that you need to play the way you want to play. And then, you know, managing pace, and I see everything through an offensive lens. So I think scoring helps you set up your defense. A lot of people go the other way, right? But you know, I'm going to be all offense. What do you think? What do you think about that?
Yeah, we take the other approach. Our defense is all of it for us. Majority of our points, like even last game, we had like 20, forced the team into 28 turnovers, right? We were able to capitalize, not as well as we wanted to, but I think we had about 28, 30 points or something from turnovers. And that's what gets this particular team going. They can smell it, and they are just even more aggressive, which earlier on, until we got, you know, discipline and adjusted to officials, we were getting a lot of foul calls. But now they've adjusted, and we're actually, it's leading to steals. And so it's been good to see us use our defense to initiate our offense.
When you're that aggressive in the quarter court, how much does trust play a factor on the, you know, the second level defense or the third level?
It's huge. You know, you can't have aggressive and great traps if you don't have proper rotations. And so we talk about it all the time in terms of having two trappers, two stealers, and one safety. Somebody has to protect the rim. And who that person is often varies whether the ball is on the wing or if the ball screen is on the wing or if it's in the middle of the third of the court. And so we just constantly rep that out so that they do build trust with one another. We talk a lot about communication. You can't play this game quiet. You got to talk, either say what you're doing or what you see, right? And so we spent a great amount of time. We still aren't where we want to be from our ability to communicate effectively, but we are talking so much better than we have been in October.
So I always look at you and I think you're a city girl, right? Grew up in New Jersey. You know, you did play your Southern basketball at Duke, but you've spent most of your career as a head coach anyway, up in the Northeast and in New York City. Tell me what a New York City guard looks like. People say they know what a New York City guard looks like. Tell us what it is.
Yeah, I think just the North, like New York City in general, it's that toughness. You have like a swag about you that's like, you know, other people that may mistake it for being rude, right? Like you exude this confidence and this aura about your game and your abilities to be able to, without, for lack of better words, embarrass your opponent, right? You go out there and you're like a New York guard is that way, confident, and that grit, that disposition of like, she ain't got nothing on me, right? A lot of that confused for arrogance, but you put the work in, right? And that's the swag of a New York guard for sure.
So where would you rate yourself on that as a player and then as an evaluator?
Oh man, evaluator, I think I'm doing pretty decent. My freshman clutch, we call her Clutch. Her name's Corinne. She's from Philly. She's a little Philly pit bull, small, but she's mighty, man. Yeah. She gets after it, is leading our team. Positive assist to turnover ratio has been her focus every game, and she's gotten it. I think it was, 7-4 in our last game the other day. But just in general, she's that. You got to – yeah, I'm small, but I'm mighty, right? For myself, I was just a dog. I didn't back down from anybody. Defensively, I always wanted the best player. Coach G used to put me on the best. Same with Coach P, you know, like that's just who I was identity wise. And I think it comes from playing up here in the Northeast, like playing outside on the courts with boys and just that toughness overall, right? You're not, everybody up here isn't walking by you and saying hi and greeting you.
Not everybody's smiling, right?
Not everybody's smiling.
Were you the player, and do you have players like this that ask to guard the best player? Like you see somebody go on a little 6-0 run and maybe you got to call a timeout, or you have somebody that just steps up and goes, coach, let me have her.
Yeah. The unique thing about our team is we have about three players that are willing to do that. Lexi's out right now. She's always asking, can she get Anastasia? And then you have Tia Morgan. She's our best defender on ball. And we put her on people. Timo's probably, I'm going to be nice. I'm going to give her 5'8", right? And we had her guarding 6'1" player because of how strong she is, how physical she plays, and she's not backing down. So we're fortunate in that we have a few that can do that. That request that, and we've been showing that we can. We just have to, you know, sustain for 40 minutes, and that's the ball game.
Because there's so much hoop up there in the Northeast, and there's games all the time, and there's got to be incredible opportunities for you to evaluate talent. It's not so spread out, right? Everything seems to be. How do you think the portal window is going to help a place like Fordham with the new? 15 days that start right after the national championship is over.
Yeah, I think that in transparency, I feel like a lot of these players, they've been doing a lot of stuff through their coaches. And I think that this window helps a school like us because of our location, right? Like we have location and conference. We have great opportunities from internships and preparing for your future. Everybody wants to be in New York City under the lights. And then you have a competitive conference. Like we're top conference in the country. Between 6 and 7 has been the consistent rating for our league. Right. And so when you have players that are entering that portal and during that window, you have crunch time. So you have to decide, do I want to be a player that comes in and impacts immediately? Will I have opportunity to win? And will I get competition? And then lastly, can I prepare for my future there, right? Because so many women, they're like, you know, the basketball is going to stop. And granted, our platform has grown tremendously with women's basketball, so there are a lot more opportunities. But many of them are still thinking, what can I do life after basketball? So a place like Fordham is able to really take advantage of that because of what we can offer both on and off the court.
I know what great rivals Duke and North Carolina are, and I get why you have Keturah Jackson on your staff. She's a Dukie. She might have been your teammate for a year or two, I think. Mm-hmm. You got Leah Metcalf on your team, on your staff, who's a North Carolina Tar Heel, played for Sylvia. I found that very interesting. I mean, I know everybody gets along, but I'm just saying from a rivalry standpoint, like there's got to be some good stories there.
Yes, tons. Every time Duke and Duke's playing UNC in any sport, don't let it be basketball. We're really talking trash. Got all the TVs going here in the office. But I met Leah. She was my vet my second year playing pro in Poland. And so met her and she took me under her wing and she was really great people from her to her family. And then I had the opportunity on my staff and she was my dobo last year. She works her butt off. And I was, you know, and she's super organized. And so I was like, you know, a recruiting coordinator is something that can definitely help you for your next steps. And she's really organized and she's been great with it. But fortunately for me, but unfortunately, because I have to say she came from UNC. She's a hard worker. She's a hard worker. Yeah. UNC, I guess, bred at least one hard worker over there.
Yeah, there's a good one right there. She definitely, I covered her games too. She was a heck of a player. She was a great two guard for Sylvia Hatchell.
She does a phenomenal job too with developing, like always in the gym with our players and getting shots and all that stuff. So I'm really happy with her and my staff in general. They do a phenomenal job. This year has been great.
So how do you organize the staff? Not necessarily just practice, but what happens on the bench?
Yeah. So Andre and John are offense and offense efficiency. KJ and Leah, they both chart like defensive things for the opponent and ourselves, right? Like, what are we doing? What's the opponent doing? How can we score is more so the route that John and Dre take. That's in game. As far as our team goes, we split in four positions. So we have PGs who are with Coach John and his development, wings that are with Coach Leah, forwards that are with Coach KJ, and then we call them Mack trucks, which are our fives that are with Coach Dre. And so we have enough, you know, from a facility stance, everybody gets their own basket and kind of development. And we do skill work every practice so that we're working on things, whether it's tailored specifically towards the opponent, offense and defense, what we're going to get that game, or if it's just, you know, them improving their own personal individual skills.
Bridget, because I followed you as a player and I covered your games, and so I know how hard you worked and I know what you did in the off season to get ready. I even remember an injury that I think you came back from when you were at Duke. when you're fighting to get to the middle part of the A-10, because right now there's a couple of teams that are at the top, including, you know, Rhode Island and George Mason undefeated with Richmond and Davidson right there. And you're in games with them, so you're very close. I'm just curious, when you're watching Kurt Cignetti and Indiana football win in the manner that they won, when no one believed, no one ever thought that that could happen, what do you take away from watching that whole story unfold?
I think that it's really important that you don't get weary in doing the right thing, right? And don't get weary in doing good things, right? And so I could easily, with us losing, I could easily harp on all the things that we're doing wrong. Instead, I choose to take the route where we're doing some things right, and we got to continue to build on those. And so I think that that's what he was able to do, to find a way to motivate those players to believe in themselves, right? You believe in the work that you're doing, and that underdog mentality, right? You said it, I'm a city girl. I'm not expected to get anything. You got to go take it and earn it. And I think that that's something that is really unique about this conference. Those top four and then everyone else, right? Especially as of this season, everyone else is there in the middle of the pack. And so what's going to separate you is what we constantly talk about on our team. Our defense is a great opportunity to be our separator. We have to continue to do that and build on that. And then I know with you, with your offensive mind, we have to move better without the ball. So we've been a little stagnant, but all that to say, in comparison, and when you look at their story, the success story of Indiana, I think that you can't get weary in doing the right things. And I think that you have to continue to work, right? If you work, you're going to see more confidence develop. And then with more confidence comes more belief.
It's a great story that unfolded in the national championship game with a bunch of guys that were underachievers. And if you label yourself a city girl and an underdog, I'm right there with you. I understand that mentality. And anybody who's listened to you in the last 15 minutes would be inspired to try to do things the right way and not get weary doing them. And also play some really good defense, because it's going to matter. Bridgette Mitchell, the head coach at Fordham, thank you so much for being with us on Nothing But Net.
Thanks for having me. Go Rams.